Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the breakfast huddle with Elliot Dank. I'm Bharati Jagdish, and now it is time to take a look at the bigger picture. What are markets going to be focused on today? It's a bank's earnings.
Yes, indeed. UOB's, to be specific, fourth quarter earnings report out this morning. Net profit for its fourth quarter grew 48% from the previous year on higher net interest income. This is on the back of strong loan growth.
Let's get in touch with Yip Jun Rong, market strategist for IG. Jun Rong, good morning again.
Hi, good morning, Elliot. Thanks for having me back.
Let's start off by getting your overall view on the earnings. Did it meet your expectations?
Yeah, so if you look at the UOB fourth quarter result, it has largely beaten earnings expectations. If you look at a net profit increasing 48% year-on-year, and while it actually came off from the 57% growth back in the third quarter, the overall outperformance still points towards a strong recovery in the profits. So net revenue also delivered, came in up 8.2% year-on-year, with the growth on par with the previous quarter itself. So overall, I believe it's a good set of results. Certain catalysts such as, you know, strong loan growth and fee income continues to reflect some form of a resilience in the economic conditions, and also along with the strong lending momentum. And while the impending higher interest rate outlook has not fully fed into its interest margin yet, it does provide some form of a tailwind for its businesses there.
You talk about tailwinds, but what about potential headwinds? What are some of the weaknesses that stand out as well, Jun Rong?
Yes, so currently some of the weakness that I saw is that, you know, as mentioned, the full effect of the higher interest rate outlook has not seemed to be fully fed into its interest, net interest margin. So if you look at the Singapore's 3-month SOR and SIBOR, there was a slight up move towards the end of last year, but overall still largely remain flat. So that has kind of, you know, led to some, you know, muted movement in terms of its interest margin. But as we look into the interest rate up cycle ahead, and considering that the Singapore rate are positively correlated with the US Fed funds rate, if we were to see any impending upward revision through 2022, that will be a catalyst to drive expansion for, you know, banks' net interest margin, and also aid to support its net interest income ahead. So if you look at its net interest margin, currently is still low at 1.56%, trailing behind its pre-COVID period of roughly 1.7 to 1.8%. So it does suggest that, you know, things are muted for now, but there are room for expansion, and that the worst could be sort of behind us. While there are some concerns that, you know, the higher rates may have an impact on the overall loan demand, I feel that the strong lending momentum we have seen thus far, along with a further improvement in the economic conditions, that may aid to limit some form of a downside impact in that regard.
Yeah, so for UOB and DBS, based on the results, they've been quite prudent in their loan loss provisioning. Jun Rong, I'm curious about other potential growth catalysts. Any thoughts on acquisition?
Yeah, so of course, if you look at the acquisition, it's a key form of a growth catalyst for a UOB, considering that they had a recent agreement to buy Citigroup's consumer assets in, you know, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand and Vietnam. So that will actually double the number of its regional retail clients to around 5.3 million. So with that, I believe that you may continue to provide a tailwind for a lending momentum. And once the acquisition is completed, which is, you know, further propelled by an economic recovery in Southeast Asia, as, you know, vaccination rate continue to pick up and COVID-19 risk eventually abate. So that actually bodes well for its lending momentum moving forward.
What are the potential problems that could arise in the short to medium term that UOB absolutely needs to pay immediate attention to?
Yes, so some of the risks, you know, that I could foresee could be in terms of the China growth slowdown and also the Hong Kong virus resurgences, potentially impacting some form of a near-term loan demand, considering that mainland China exposure accounts for 6% of total assets, whereas Hong Kong accounts for 9% of total assets. But overall, definitely one to watch is the China authorities, you know, kind of adopting an accommodative stance through 2022 may help to actually lift economic growth ahead, considering that, you know, the country continues to face a series of risks in terms of the property sector and also a muted domestic consumer spending. So that will be one of the key risks that I'll be watching out for.
Okay, so to wrap things up, Jun Rong, there are quite a few things to take note of, plus UOB's enjoyed a pretty good run in their share prices this year. What are your thoughts on current valuations? How do you feel?
Yeah, so if you look at it from a dividend point of view, okay. I mean, UOB maintained its dividend of 60 cents per share, in line with its previous, you know, half yearly payout. So the full year dividend of $1.20 may translate into a dividend yield of 3.7% at the current price, compared to, you know, DBS 3.9% and OCBC potentially at 3.8%. So overall dividend across all three banks are closely sort of in line, which does, you know, offer a stable return in light of a strong business momentum. So my focus is also on some of the institutional interest in UOB. So, I mean, if you look at the SGX fund flow data, it actually revealed that the STI, particularly the three local banks, yeah. has been gaining some traction since the start of the year. So particularly for UOB, year-to-date net institutional inflow stands at roughly 378 million. So while that may trail behind, you know, OCBC's 603 million and also DBS 358 million, UOB is actually the one that delivered the highest year-to-date return of around 21% out of the three local banks. So the overall inflows into the banks by institutional investors year-to-date, I believe may suggest, you know, adopting a more positive outlook for economic recovery and sort of positioning for a tighter monetary policy outlook, which may, you know, drive eventual expansion in net interest income ahead.
All right. Thanks very much for that analysis, Jun Rong. We've been speaking with Yip Jun Rong, market strategist at IG. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow, Jun Rong. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.
Thanks, Marathi. Have a great day.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.